This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash. All right, welcome everybody. This is Welcome to the Spotlight with Martez. I'm coming to you live from downtown Detroit, Michigan. Gosh, this is a great show that we have for you today. I'm super, super excited about this show today. In radio, everybody always say that if you listen to different radio personalities, they will tell you that they have a big show. If you listen to any radio platform, every show is a big show. If they tell you, let them tell it. Every show is a big show. But I'm going to use that cliche today, and I'm going to tell you who's ever listening, if I can get my words together, who's ever listening, that today is a big show today. I have a special, special guest that's going to be joining us today. I'm always appreciative when someone says yes to your invitation. My guest today, she has a lot going on. Like, I've never had a guest on this show. From the 3 years of doing this show, I've never had a guest come on with such a large resume, and I really don't even know where to start with her today, to be honest with you. So there's only been a few interviews where I was nervous, and this is one of the interviews where I'm nervous. So I'm just going to be honest with you all today, because I never talked to anyone quite like this, you know. She has a great, great love affair for animals, for dogs, from what I see. She has a photography business. She has a lot of things going on. So I won't waste too much time yapping it up, because you all know how I can yap it up. And sometimes I say a whole lot, but I'm not really saying nothing. But before I bring her on, we have Devin Johnson. She's the founder of The Dog Railroad. She's also the founder of the North Michigan Pit Bulls. She's also the founder of Shut Up Bajur. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And I'm pretty sure she'll correct me once she comes on. And she's the owner and the founder of Benito's Media. So, yes, she has so much going on. But let me just pause real quick and let me say this. No one has to accept your invitation. No one has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to an anniversary. It can be an invitation to graduation. But no one has to accept your invitation. So I'm always appreciative when someone accepts your invitation to be on your show or anything. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to give Ms. Johnson a proper intro. And I'm going to give her a proper intro music before I bring her on. So after you hear this intro music, the next voices you will hear will be mine and Devin Johnson. One and only Devin Johnson. Miss Johnson, if you're there, thank you for coming on to the show. And how are you, first of all? I know we've been talking through Messenger, but how are you?
I am good, busy but good.
Okay, okay. Are you say you're a little bit nervous, huh?
Oh, of course. How can you not be when you're talking to the public, I guess?
Yeah, I was just telling the people, I don't know if you heard, but this is one of the interviews that I'm actually nervous about, you know, because I've never talked to someone quite like you. You have a lot going on, so I don't even know where to start with you, because you have a lot of go ahead.
Yeah, I get that a lot. No, I get that a lot. I always have something going on, and there's always multiple things going on at once, especially with the dog rescue, so
right.
I get it.
Right, right. Okay, well, before we get into all that you do, I mean, everything has an origin, okay? What was your first business? What was your first endeavor? And how did that come about? What was the very first thing you launched? And how did you formulate
that? The first thing I ever launched was my photography. Okay. Ever since I was a little kid, I have had a camera in my hand.
Yeah.
I have probably taken at least a million photos in the 29 years that I have been on this earth.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, I launched my first photography business back in 2013. Yeah, 2013.
Okay.
And that's when I first started doing it part-time. And
okay.
Now I have been doing it full-time for about a year.
Nice.
Yeah, and now
nice.
I do it to support my rescues.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's real cool. Now, if we can just stick on the photography right now, always see the end product, the finished product, how things look nice and how things look beautiful to our
right.
eyes. But what are the difficulties of doing photography that we don't see? If there are any difficulties.
Lighting is the biggest thing in photography. Shooting at the right time of day, and if you're in studio, having the right amount of lighting, not having it too much or too dark. A lot of people think that the best time to shoot is, you know, noon or midday, when in reality the sun placement is horrible for that. It's best to shoot in, like, early morning or closer to sunset, it's more, the light's more dispersed that way, and it's
okay.
more shining directly on you, not over you. It's all about creating shadows and positioning the light so it's in front of you, not behind you with the glares, and there's a lot to it.
It's more than just pressing a button and telling
someone
to say cheese.
Oh yeah, much more.
Okay. What do you see yourself like? And I hate when people ask this question, but I'm gonna be the one to ask it. But what do you see yourself like 5 years with this photography, doing photography, or can you even look that far ahead?
Right now, I mean, I would love it if I could, you know, travel to do my photography and bring more awareness through my photography with everything. I guess in 5 years, that would be my biggest goal, is being able to travel to do it.
Well, we definitely keep our fingers crossed, and we pray that you can get that done in 5 years. Now, if we can shift, because like I say, this, I'm not gonna even lie to you. Like you are a difficult interview, you know. And I like to go after unique people. Okay, let's just switch over to the Dog Railroad. Can you elaborate on what is the Dog Railroad for those that are listening? Because we do have people that are very intrigued to listen to you today based on what you do for dogs. And I'm getting messages right now.
So the Dog Railroad, I started the day after Christmas, actually. I had a dream, a literal dream, about, you know, how all of these dogs across America, you see these comments of people saying, oh, I wish I could get this dog, but I'm so far away, or I just have no way of getting it, and... Mm. The overpopulation in Texas, North Carolina, the southern states is ridiculous.
Right.
And so I started the Dog Railroad, and it blew up. I have almost 2,000 members now.
Nice.
And what it is a group of volunteers who take time out of their day to help cover like a leg of a transport. Say, like I just had puppies from Arkansas come up to me. I had somebody pick them up in Arkansas, bring them, where did they bring them? To Arkansas to Mississippi, and then I think that, Arkansas to Mississippi, then Mississippi to Kentucky, Kentucky to Indiana, where I picked them up.
Yeah.
So I've got multiple people working on transports at a time, multiple transports going on at a time. So it's just about getting the dogs to a safer place. And I mean, everybody asks me how I go about, you know, making sure that they're going to a safe place.
Yeah.
And with every adoption or transport or foster that comes through me, they are put through the test. I have like an 11 questions to start off. And if you don't pass those 11 questions, sorry, but you don't get the dog. And some people think that's hard, but it's all about matching the dog to the right scenario.
Right. And
so
you know what's funny about that?
The dog
and not to cut
there.
You off. Yeah. You know what's funny about that? I'm not gonna lie, I didn't grow up being a dog lover. I always wanna be real with people that I talk to. I didn't grow up being a dog lover, but as I got older, I understand why people care about dogs the way they care about dogs. And I'm starting to be that type of person that cares about dogs, you know. I'm even thinking about getting one. I've had other pets, but dogs. The reason I'm saying this to say this, there's a lot of people that abuse dogs, you know, and that's why I respect the fact that you go through what you go through to see who to match who with, what dog to match what person with, because I didn't realize I didn't realize how many dogs get abused out here. How do you make that decision not to give a dog to a certain family or a certain person? What are the red flags that you see?
Well, I have background checks done. I have Facebook checks done. I've got puppies crying in the background.
Wow.
So I've probably got five people. that work on one person or one dog at a time to make sure that they're going into a good place. So we ask certain questions like, have you ever owned a dog? Have you rescued a dog before? Do you know what it takes to own a dog? The members in the house, what kind of energies in the house? We ask for references, if they have other pets, if they own or rent, like that kind of thing. And I mean, none of them, if you rent, it's not a deal breaker. We just have to have proof, you know, that you are allowed to have dogs there. A lot of places have BSLs, which are the breed restriction laws. So we have to work around that and make sure that it's okay for that dog and it's safe for that dog to be in even that county. So there is a lot that goes into finding the right spot for them.
Yeah, you almost like the, I mean, hate to say it like this, but you, I mean, you're doing a good job of what you're doing, you know, but don't take this the wrong way, but you like the police.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You know? And I'll take that. You can call me the dog police, because as long as I'm making sure that these dogs are safe, then I'll take that title.
You wear that as a badge of honor, huh?
Yes, I do. Because there are so many bad places and bad people in this world now that are just unbelievable to me that I can't even contemplate how they can do something to these animals that all they want is love and affection and to show you that.
Yeah, let's keep it real today. You know, our dog, because I mean, you have a love affair for pit bulls. Am I right? Do you?
Oh yes.
Okay. Okay. And
those are my
always,
babies.
I see. I was always taught that pit bulls were the most evilest, vicious dogs out there. They're the type of dogs you don't want around your children. They're the type of dogs you don't want around just yourself. And obviously, that's not all the way true, because I mean, you have a fondness for pit bulls. But what do you say to those people? And I'm not trying to start any controversy, but what do you say to those people that really don't believe that pit bulls are good animals to have around?
It's not about the breed. It's about the background of the dog, the history, the DNA. You can, I mean, there are pit bulls out there that are trained and bred for fighting that have an aggressive personality. Now, like right now, I have a foster that is a bait dog. He's got the fight or flight mode and everything, but he's fine around certain dogs. It's just about, it's really hard to explain to people that don't really get it and haven't seen it or been around it. But I mean, it's not just pit bulls. There are other dogs out there that are mean. There are, I mean, if you look up the actual rates of bites and that kind of thing, pit bulls are not number one. And I believe labs are actually like pretty high up there. And I know more people that have been bitten by labs or retrievers than a pit bull or a German Shepherd or a Mastiff. So really, it's just about their DNA and the history of where they come from, just like anybody else.
Gotcha. At the end of the day, basically, it's who owns them, like who raised them.
Yep.
Yeah. Like humans, you know, sometimes you have people that's just off the hook, and it's because their mother or their father raised them to be off the hook. Am I right about it?
Right. And And I mean, you could have an off the hook parent that raises a child that's absolutely perfect, and we have
that's
no idea where that kid came from. You know what I mean? It really just has to do with the DNA of the dog. Some dogs can be trained and rehabilitated from the fighting scene, and I know many that have been, but it just really depends on the DNA, in my opinion. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that will fight me on that, but
staying on the topic of pit bulls, you also are the owner and founder of Northern Michigan Pit Bulls. What are some things that you guys are doing now with Northern Michigan Pit Bulls? What you might already see
right now?
Right
now we are in the process of filing for our 501 and getting that all up and ready for this year, so we can start the building of the facility that will house hopefully 100 pit bulls on 75 acres. Where they will come to me and to my fellow volunteers and workers to be trained and put through testing to see if they are a good fit to become emotional support animals or service dogs for our veterans.
Okay. Wow.
So we're trying to turn two bad scenarios into one great one, basically, by taking unwanted dogs and turning them into something that somebody needs. And giving, we're trying to.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, one of the people, her name is Stacy. She listened to this station. She listened to other shows that's on this platform. She wanted me to let you know that what you're doing by rescuing dogs is an important cause, and she definitely give you props for doing that. So I just wanted to
let you know.
I guess I'm gonna create a question within that statement. How does that make you feel? Like when you rest your head at night, at the end of the day, how does that make you feel that you're doing something that's monumental, doing something that's a great cause, you're doing something that's very heroic, if you will. How does that make you feel?
It honestly depends on the day, because in the rescue world, there are so many ups and downs. Like there could be, you could spend all day trying to get a dog pulled from a shelter and off the use list and loose, or you can pull and manage to find homes for 20 dogs in one day. It really just depends on the day and everything. I mean, I get the haters and the people that are against what I do and everything, and I get hate mail and messages. We all do.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it can be really hard sometimes, but hearing things like Stacy saying that helps majorly to know that, you know, there are people that are out there supporting us in doing this. I've been trying to get my rescue up and going for 10 years now.
Yeah.
And ever since starting this railroad, I have finally been connected to people all over the United States that are here, and they are helping me get it all up and going because they see the potential that this could do for the dogs in the South and for the dogs all over the United States, for that matter.
Oh man, that's great. You like, honestly, and I'm not just saying this because you're on air. You are definitely a hero. You know, those dogs definitely can be thankful for you. You know that you're going all.
Oh, they are my hero. They're my hero. They saved me. That's for sure. I have my very own.
cool. What I'm gonna do here, I'm gonna take a 1 minute break. I hope you don't mind. Take a 1 minute break,
if you
still decide to stick with us, we can come back and wrap up the interview, sorta. All right.
Sounds good.
You ever wish you weren't a motor?
Sure. Sometimes I wish I had legs like you.
Yeah, like a regular person.
Still have bike half, man. Just stops.
What's the legs on the bottom and motorcycle on the top? Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
For those who were born to ride, there's Progressive.
Subway, home of the famous $5 footlong, like our fresh toasted black forest ham with cheese and our newest $5 footlong, the fresh delicious chicken pizziola. $5 footlongs, all day, every day.
All right, we're back. This is Welcome to the Spotlight with Martez right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. I have the pleasure, and I'm honestly blessed to be talking to Devin Johnson. She's a hero in this life, in this game of life. She's the founder of the Dog Railroad. She's also the founder of Shut Up. Bajur. I mean, I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'm not a French guy. I didn't go to French class, so help me out if I'm saying that wrong. She's also the founder and owner of the Northern Michigan Pit Bulls, also Benito's Media. Okay, hopefully I said that all correctly. I don't know if I did, but I want to get back to the rescuing of dogs. But could you talk about Benito's Media and what is that?
It's Benthos.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
You're okay. No, you're fine. So Benthos
is
my.
Wait. I'm looking at it right now. It is. How did I? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So Benthos is my family photography, more of, you know, families, pets, kids, everyday type photography. I do lifestyle. I do newborn. I do engagements, couples, cake smashes, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, and I also do the pet photography there.
Oh, wow.
And that one is basically my main photog gig is my Benthos, and then I have the Shutter Up, which is just for like high scale boudoir and newborn photography.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. You summed that up pretty well. Now I'm going to ask you idiotic questions, and you can hang up anytime you want to. I'm not going to disrespect you or nothing like that. But do you have you have so many dogs that you're around. Is it possible that do you have any favorites? Do you show some of the dogs favoritism over the other ones? I know that's a stupid question.
I try really, really hard not to. I do have my two own dogs, so I try to make sure that they know that they are my babies and that they are always with me, you know, because they see these dogs come and go all the time. I guess to answer your question, yes, I kind of favor my own dogs, but I also spoil the crap out of all of them just so they know that that humans do give love and everything.
Okay, yeah, you kept it real. Okay, you didn't sugarcoat it, but okay.
Yeah, no, I kind of I'm pretty brutally honest. You kind of have to be in the rescue world, and so.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Have you ever had to fight somebody that abused the dog and didn't want to give up the dog? Like, have you ever had to almost knuckle up with someone?
Personally, no. I have not, thankfully. Yeah. I do know people who have been assaulted during rescues.
Okay.
I have had people who have had to call the police in order to get the dogs out of this horrible situation. There's many, many things that can happen during a rescue and that you just don't know. For instance, just yesterday or last night, I should say, one of my transporters messaged me and sent me a link to four puppies and a mom wandering the streets in Houston, Texas. And they have been wandering for about 2 weeks. The puppies look to be about 8 weeks old, and we got the puppies caught. The mom ran into a property, and I was like, "Is this the owner of the dog?" And lo and behold, the gentleman came out and claimed that they were his.
Oh.
So the dogs had to be released back into his care because they're. Were no shelters open. Their police station, it was too late at night to call a non-emergency line. And we can't bother the police with this type of situation, I guess you could say. But
okay.
They were contacted today, and hopefully these puppies and mom will either be taken better care of or taken to where they're safe and not running in front of cars in the middle of a road.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot of messages, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I hope it's good, you know, but anyway. But now, are there certain, like, states where it's a good idea to get dogs from versus other states? Because I heard you talking about Indiana, and I know my family, they went down to Indiana to get a dog, and I was wondering, why would you go down to Indiana and you could have got a dog from Michigan? But are there just certain states where it's good to get dogs from?
We try to get dogs out of the areas of high kill. Now, people say that, you know, there's no such thing as kill shelters anymore or da-da-da, but in reality, you really need to look into what their no-kill means.
Okay.
Because this is one I wish I had. My other girl that is amazing, her name is Sarah, and she is full force with me into saving.
Wow.
And she's the one that I go to double check about shelters and make sure, you know, that I'm pulling the right ones from pulling the more severe cases or helping the more severe cases that need the most help in networking or pulling or anything like that. Because some of these places are absolutely horrible and will kill a dog for not feeling comfortable in their kennel in a shelter that they were just left by their owner of 12 years.
Okay.
So you really got to be careful with the shelters and what they mean by no kill.
Wow. You're definitely teaching me a lot today. Hopefully I take everything that you're saying today and then apply it to my life or be able to tell other people about it. Cause, it's easy to, like, to go along with you on air, but I need to be able to take some of this off air and tell people about it as well.
Well, you can always direct them to us at the Dog Road.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, we are glad to answer any questions. We have many people on there that if you even comment on one of our – because we've got the transport group, and then we've also got like our success story page and our fosters where we post like people that need fosters or adoption immediately. So we're trying to network as best we can and get some of these dogs all over in Texas, especially. Texas has my heart right now because of how bad it is. Texas and North Carolina, especially with pit bulls and the dogs just running free. We are trying to get a dog pulled from Fort Worth, Texas right now. His name's Church, and he has been there. Oh, when he got there, December 26th, I believe it was. If I'm wrong, trust me, they will correct me instantly. but he ended up getting very, very sick with an upper respiratory infection is what we are thinking it is, because he's coughing up blood. He's very weak. The shelter finally got him on some IV fluids and everything and whatnot and dropped his 106 fever down to 102. I'm not sure what it's at now. I'll have to check. But so that's one of our biggest things right now is finding him a foster in the Fort Worth, Texas area so that we can pull him and get him into a vet and get him up and fixed so he can be transported to his forever home that we have found him.
Gosh. you are amazing. I don't even know what else to say to you at this point. But wow. Really, like, you really care. Like, some people in it for, I'm not gonna lie, some people may be in it for the cash, but like, it seems like you really care about these animals. You really care about this cause, rescuing
very
animals,
much.
Things of that nature. I want to hopefully you can come back on again, and we can talk about more things beyond dogs and things of that nature. But I want to put the spotlight on you before we let you go tonight, or let you go this afternoon. What is it that you want the people to know about you and what you're doing before we let you go? Is there anything else you would like to say? Any causes? Any fundraisers that you have going on right now that people can help out?
Yeah, we've got lots of fundraisers going always. Any donations towards the railroad or any of the fosters or, I mean, any donations towards anything is posted all over our Facebook. The fundraisers are for everything. We've got one up for a dog that we just got saved off of Mexico border in Texas. His name is Milo. So we're raising money to get him spayed and neutered and brought up to date with his vaccines and all of that. And this dog is the absolute sweetest. He's good with other dogs. He's good with kids. And he is completely emancipated, and it is breaking our hearts. So besides that one, we've got some for some moms and puppies. Then we've got the one for church. Really our three biggest fundraisers going right now, besides the one to build the facility itself.
Okay. Cool. So now if people wanted to donate, where would they just go on a Facebook or a website?
We have a GoFundMe up.
Okay.
And then we also have a PayPal that you can directly send to the PayPal that for the Dog Railroad, for our gas fund and for fosters and that kind of thing, which is just paypal.me/thedograilroad.
Oh, sweet. Hopefully you guys, for those of you that care about dogs, even if you don't care about dogs, this is a worthy cause. I would ask that you all might be able to bless her and what she's doing. She's definitely doing a good thing. But yeah, I want to take this time to say thank you for coming on today. Seriously, you could have said no. You know, you could have said no to the invitation. You don't know me, and I didn't know you, but I saw something special in what you were doing, so I wanted to bring you on. So I want to say thank you for coming on, and hopefully you can come on again down the road, okay?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, this helps us get the word out, so this is huge. So thank you.
And if you ever this is something I can tell you privately, if you ever I have available airtime, if you ever need to do some kind of special show regarding the rescuing of dogs, feel free to hit me up and we can work something out. I don't have to be
awesome
on the show, but feel free if you ever need any extra help on our end.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, but this is always the toughest thing for me because I don't want to come off as rude, but I'll talk to you some other time. I don't know how to say goodbye. You know?
We'll talk soon. It's okay, Marcus. We'll talk soon.
All right, for sure. Have a good night.
Have a good day.
Bye.
You too. Bye.